Okay, well, let's jump into this text today. There was one place or time in history that you could be right now to watch unfold, maybe a fly on the wall. Where would it be? When would it be? Right. You're going to choose one spot, world history, to be a fly on the wall. Be back at your wedding, maybe. Maybe back when you were saved, when you came to confess Jesus as Savior. Maybe you're a history buff, it'd be back to the signing the Declaration of Independence. I'm guessing that was not on anyone's top 10. I don't know. But maybe, for me, it would be this room at this time. This would be so fascinating, wouldn't it be? What is this? Last Supper, yeah. Yeah. I would love to be in that room. We don't know a whole lot about the disciples' personalities, and we kind of get a hint. But if you could be a fly on that room, you would see so much in those hours about those men, about all that was going on, and the ins and outs. And Leonardo da Vinci tried to get some of that in his painting here. But you could see impetuous Peter mouthing off, maybe, at times. John, the son of thunder, this big young man, strong, James and John, sons of thunder, transforming into the disciple of love, sitting closest to Jesus. See Judas over there. I would love to see their interaction. I would love to hear Jesus teaching them for hours. Wouldn't that be such a blessing? That would be so fun. Amazing prophetic pronounces. Jesus claims Jeremiah's prophecy as what he's doing. This is the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says that to them before he dies. I'm going to pour out my blood for the forgiveness of sins, that you can have your sins forgiven. Before that, we know Judas had left at that point. Before that, Judas is ready to betray Jesus, and he confronts Judas. No one suspects. That would be interesting to see Judas squirm and leave the room. Before that, still, there was an interesting scene that I'm not sure we would necessarily want to see. As a fly, we would probably throw up as well. Because there's a squabble. Remember the squabble they had? It's sad to say, Christians at times squabble over the dumbest things. And they had a squabble. They were fighting over who would be the preeminent one. Here they are, coming to Jerusalem, renting this large hall. No doubt they're thinking, this is the Oval Office. Like, we would never spend a lot of money here at the feast. Like, every room is booked. But we have an amazing large room where we're going to take the Passover lamb. And here's Jesus. He's going to come in and he's going to claim the reins to Israel and be the Messiah and cast off Rome this week. So I want to be Secretary of State. I want to be Secretary of Defense. Peter says, I want to be Vice President. And they start fighting over who's going to be Vice President. That's what they're doing. They come into that room fighting. And then they recognize that everything's prepared, but no one's washed the feet. No one's there to wash the feet. Well, that's not the Vice President's job. I mean, okay, maybe James, Judas, the treasurer's not going to do it. James and John say, forget, not me. And so they kind of just have this awkward silence. Their feet are dirty. It's a filthy time in Jerusalem. Not just mud, but like way overcrowded. Filth in the streets. Very poor sewage system. This needs to be done. No one's taking the leadership to serve. Jesus changes, puts on his servant's robe with a towel, a basin, and starts to wash their feet, scrubbing mud, dirt, filth from the feet of these kind of smelly young men. What a sweet, sweet picture. Scrubbing, hearing the water in the basin as he takes his time, awkward silence. gets to Peter. Peter says, don't do it. No, okay, I get your point. I shouldn't do this. Jesus says, no, I need to wash you. No doubt, through the silence, they are embarrassed. Okay, it's not the treasurer's job. It's not the vice president's job, but it's certainly not the Messiah's job. Or is it? And we find here a true leader is one who serves. We find here one who follows Jesus will serve. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. And so some churches have a Sunday where people wash other people's feet. I'm not going to do that at our church,
right?
Because it's more meaningful than that. It'd be really easy to wash everybody's feet one Sunday. But there's something deeper than that. It's being a servant to one another. That's what Jesus is saying. You are to be a servant to one another. And so as we follow Jesus in his church, we find that he is setting us an example that we are to serve one another through washing one another, through purifying one another, through growing one another, through building one another. Sacrificial service. And Romans 12 really focuses in on that for the church's sake. And so we're pausing our current series to look at this just this week, Romans 12, as we consider sacrificial service. How can I be a sacrificial servant at Grace Baptist Church to my brothers and sisters? We'll look at four quick points and probably mainly focus on the one. So we'll find a solid foundation for sacrificial service, a sound mentality for sacrificial service, the spiritual picture for sacrificial service, and then this catalog of sacrificial services, which we're just going to mention. But we're mainly going to deal with that third one. I want to look at this picture and delve a little more deeply into that one, okay? So let's look pretty quickly through these first couple. Though, okay, we could spend hours on each of these verses. There's this solid foundation. How am I to serve people at Grace? I can't fake this. I can fake it for a little bit, but I can't do this with all my heart unless my heart is changed through the gospel. Gospel transformation. A solid foundation for sacrificial service comes from gospel transformation. Okay? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, how can I do this? By the mercies of God. That is the only way you're going to wash others' feet, that you've experienced the mercies of God. If not, you're too good. But if you recognize Romans 1 through 11 are true, where all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, Jew, Gentile, all stand condemned to die eternally before the throne of God, if it's not for Jesus. And Jesus steps in and gifts to us his righteous standing. The only condition is faith, believing that this is true, and then he grants us salvation, eternal life. Those are mercies. I deserve hell, but he is going to give me mercy. Because of his mercy, therefore, I present myself as a living sacrifice. And that's what this is. My life, then, is the Lord's. It's like the picture here is a worship sacrifice. Like you bring a grain offering, you bring a lamb, you bring yourself. And yet it's a living sacrifice, so I don't get to die. I have to die daily, giving up myself for whatever the Lord would have you do. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. And this is acceptable to God, which is your spiritual sense of worship. There is a worship to serving others. As I follow Jesus in washing your feet and serving you each week, as you follow Jesus in serving one another each week, you're actually worshiping the Lord in service. It's your spiritual worship. It goes beyond the church to everything I do in life is my spiritual worship as I offer myself to the Lord, all my gifts, my talents, my life, whether you're serving as governor of New York, whatever your job is, it's all to the Lord. Help me as I attend service at Grace today to do it as unto the Lord. Two commands coming out of that presentation of worshipful service. The first one is nonconformity. Do not be conformed to the world. The world has this mold that it wants to stick you in. And it's so selfish. You deserve a break today, right? Burger King, you'll have it your way. Right? It's all about selfishness. And that's the way the world is pushing us. Live for yourself. Serve yourself. Get what's yours. And so we're conditioned that way. We're born that way. We're conditioned to that. That world system is totally against God. The idea is it's you and people around you, and you got to get it before they do. Or somehow those that you know, in your group get it before they do. Don't be conformed to that. The world will just spin and spin and spin, crushing us into its mold. And if you try to stand up and say, I'm not going to be crushed, you'll be crushed. That's the world system. It's a world system just spinning against God, away from God, away from God, no thought of God, no thought of God. If it can just get you into that mold where you're not thinking about God, that's what it wants. You don't have to become like some crazy atheist. It just wants you to be just not thinking about God, not living for God. That's total opposite to presenting my life as a sacrifice to God. Nonconformity. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God, good and acceptable and perfect. So there's this transformation. Because of the mercies of God, I receive the gospel, I believe, and I just give myself to Him because all that He's given to me. And then so I'm not letting the world conform me to its mold, but instead, positively, I'm being transformed into another mold. The mold of unselfish service to Jesus. Transforming. Okay, so that's a process. You are being transformed. It doesn't happen immediately, but I'm being transformed. I'm being changed. I'm being renewed, made new again in my mind, the way I think. So that word is this word. What word do we get from this Greek word, metamorpho? Metamorphosis, right? Yeah. So we start here, just consumed with self. And you see how small that is. Just me, insular, mold of the world, caterpillar, crawling so low to the ground. And God changes us to a butterfly. Up, looking at all around, wanting to serve Him. We look very beautiful. Person, like they listened to what I had to say. Like they were interested in me. Yeah, because you are. Because you have a different heart that is interested in others, that has pathos. This is the change that happens. And so we're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so He's changing us into the thinking of Jesus through His Word, as Christ Himself, as the Word, changes us. Thinking different about what's important in my life. Thinking different about my life itself, the people around me. Thinking different about eternity. And so the Lord is transforming me. Now, what does He give as the primary application of Romans 12, 1 and 2? This kind of hit me this week. You just think, Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's kind of one we memorize. Hard preaching. I'd love to preach this real strong right now. But the application is so interesting. Die to self. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed to set the world on fire. Yeah. But where does He start? In the church. Right? Verses 3 and following, He really focuses this renewal continue on to the church. Receive the grace to serve the body of Christ. So, the mercies of God that are new every morning really motivate me to think differently about myself and my life. And so, number two here, we have this sound mentality for sacrificial service. Verse 4 and 5 is where we're going to get into in just a second. But verse 3, the sound mentality. I need to be thinking correctly about myself and my gifts as I am a sacrifice to God now, to doing whatever He wants. Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, that means I need to be going to where the gospel has never been heard. Right? That's a primary application of that. But that's not where He goes to first. He goes first to the way you think about serving one another. The way you wash each other's feet. He starts in the upper room at the Lord's table. Peter, stop fighting. Start washing John's feet. That's what Jesus begins with. That's what Paul begins with. For through the grace given to me, I say for everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And so there's this unsound mindset, verse 3, that is thinking more highly of myself than I ought to think. As I think Christ's thoughts, I'm not going to be thinking highly of myself. Because it's all of grace. Remember the mercy of God. I am a condemned sinner waiting for eternal damnation. That's what I am by nature. I'm just on death row, but worse, spiritual death row. I'm born in that alienated condition, no way to please God and of myself, ready to die a second spiritual death. That's who I am. So as the Lord redeems us, as He changes us, I can't think anything of myself and my usefulness to Christ. It's all of grace. I'm not thinking too highly. That would be unsound. These immature young disciples fighting over who's the best, the most important. Look at the sound mindset. But to think so as to have sound judgment. This is sound judgment. We all have different gifts, different strengths and weaknesses according to our measure of faith. Right? So some people may have a larger measure of faith than you. Some people may have a less measure of faith than you. And so their service may look greater. I think of the widow who gave her last 2 cents to God. This is great faith. Others don't have that measure of faith. Or I love reading biographies of these great heroes of the past and attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. And we see these measures of faith. And so we each have a different measure of faith. We have a different measure of faithfulness to live out our faith. A 5-talent faith is not expected the same as a 10-talent faith or a 50-talent faith. So there's all differences, not just of the talent of faith, but how I exercise that faith. But this is the humbling thing that we must focus in on. No matter whether it's big or small, none of it's ours. That's the humbling thought that Paul's focusing on. Right? Those of you who are making huge ground roads in your community, maybe you've brought 10 people to Christ this last few months, or maybe you've been able to give much more than others, or perhaps you've been able to serve more liberally, or maybe, I don't know, anybody here sold a million records in Christian music? Maybe not. But like that, somebody's gifts may be a little more seen than others. But you know what? It's not that we're comparing one another, because it's all from God. I just need to be faithful with my allotment of faith. Whether I'm Peter or Nathaniel, as I serve, I recognize I have a better measure of faith. You know, Peter may be better at organizing the dinner. And we may find that James was better at preparing the meal. And Nathaniel was a lot better standing at the back door welcoming people as they came in. Right? And so there was the different measures of faith. But God gave it all. None of us should say, wow, look at, I'm essential. No, you're not. No one is essential. And yet, everyone is essential, as we'll see. So let's get into it. Look at the spiritual picture of sacrificial service. Okay. And we're going to dip into verse 5, because verse 4 is the picture. Just as we have many members in one body, and all our members do not have the same function. So that's the picture. You all have a lot of members in your body, and they all don't do the same thing, right? Your eyes can't take the place of your toe, because you can't see down there. And that's just the silly illustration that he's giving here. There's a physical model, and all the different parts of your body are different because they have different functions. Ears, but you have things inside you that are just amazing. You don't even know about. And they are all working together to make you function. So many different. Your respiratory system, breathe, your blood, your skin, even your skin. Taking in vitamins. Amazing what God has made our body. He's just like, this is a picture. Not everything has the same function, so you need it all to work. And that is then the lesson for us today. Physical model, then the spiritual application. The spiritual message, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So much there. Let's just take it a phrase at a time. And this is the main idea for us today from the Spirit. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Life-changing. You need spiritual sacrifice in order to live this way. Understand your life this way. First question. What are we? We are. So we who are what? Many. First thing, we are many. We need to realize that there is a diversity in his body called the church. There's many of us. We look different. We sound different. We have different functions. Different interests, different strengths, different weaknesses. There are areas that you are weak. There are areas that I am very weak. There are areas that I have a little strength in. There are areas that you are strong and you're weak. You have to look at each other and recognize, oh, there's going to be differences in this body. There's so many people in the church. There's so many, 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 many gifts. There's no unanimity. We're not going to agree on the best way to do everything. Right? We're going to keep going forward in different ways, but we're all going to talk about it. And the ear needs to hear from the eye about the best way to do things. And the eye needs to hear from the toe. Because who would have thought the toe's perspective? It has a very important perspective. And the mouth may be the only thing listened to at times. But the church needs to listen to the whole body. Because we're diverse. So many strengths. You are many. You are many. Peter, John, Nathaniel. And so we have this first principle from that. There is a diversity in who we are as we serve one another in the church that makes us stronger together. You cannot just be an eyeball by yourself. You will die. You will not survive. And so there is this diversity of the many that is essential, that makes us stronger. And so when that person they just kind of get on my nerves because they look at things so different than me. Well, maybe it's because they're a kneecap. And so we just have to recognize that is by design. The Spirit does that by design. He puts us all together as a many. Beyond that, we who are many are also what? One. Second big lesson, Romans 12:5. So what are we? We're many. Number two, what are we? We're one. Okay, that's the other side of it. So there are certain things as an I that I see as very, very important. I just have to say, you know what? But I'm not one. It's not just all about me. I got to fit with the one. We are one spiritual body. And this goes beyond just grace. There is an amazing spiritual nature to this. Let me just read 1 Corinthians 12:18. Right? This will blow your mind here. It should, if you understand spiritually what's going on. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Right? And then he says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? Right? So there needs to be all of this in one. So there's the spiritual body we're baptized into by the Spirit that is called the body of Christ. I immersed into the body of Christ, this spiritual entity. And what's interesting about this is that God sees it all as one, as the bride, as the body. So this is a local, we call local manifestation, local branch, right? And we name these things different, right? We're named Grace Baptist Church. It's just a name to designate this local branch. But we're a branch that's part of something much bigger, a body. And it's a reality. There's a reality to this. This is not just a metaphor. There is a union here that goes deeper than any other spiritual union. There is a union in the body of Christ that surpasses language, ethnicity. We're one faith, one baptism, one Spirit with Peter, James, Nathaniel. I'm one with them. It transcends time. God is seeing this spiritual body right now, and Peter's in there, and Tim's in there. Isn't that cool? Luther's in there. People were trying to name Luther Lutherans. He translated the Bible into German. And he said, why are people naming themselves after me? Stinking bag of maggots that I am. I love that. Right? That's my perspective of me. But you know what? God's building his church, and I get to be there with Luther. That's what's cool. I get to be there with Peter. I get to be there with my grandmother who's passed away. There, you see that? We're still alive together in one body. Isn't that cool? So you're going to be with me forever in this one body called the spiritual church. And we are all one under the headship of Christ. So when I hurt, you hurt. When I'm happy, you're happy. That's the way it should be in the Christian church. We should be feeling with the body, right? When I slap my finger, I feel it as a body. We all should empathize with one another, be in each other's shoes, understand what they're going through. I'm amazed. And this is, I realize some people have a gift of mercy, empathy, and they're able to empathize more perhaps. But I think some people, like, they're just not Christian because the lack of empathy they have with us. It's like, are you really talking to that person that way? Do you have any understanding for who they are in Christ? You're totally disrespecting them. There's either a serious pride problem there or just zero empathy. No, as a Christian transformed to wash feet, I am careful with that heel. I love it. I want to be gentle with each part of the body. Don't push it around. Gracious listening with the body because we are all one. I'm trying not to create heartburn for the whole body because we're one. And so if I'm creating heartburn in there over stupid things, then it's going to cause strife for the rest of the body. We have one of our dear sisters. I'm not going to embarrass you, Brittany. I won't even mention your name. But moving, and so I have a little celebration here shortly. But we really appreciate her, and so this helps me when people have to move for work, because I recognize we're still one. Like, there's going to be a change of Bible-driven churches location, but we're still one. We're still serving together. She'll still use her gifts there just as she used them here. And so it helps me that God is building his church. It's one, and it keeps growing and growing and growing, and Satan may try to throw hell against it, but it stands as we stand together. And we'll get to that in just a second. But the Lord sees his bride having been washed with the water of his word, Ephesians 5, without stain or spot. He sees us that way, all together. We're one. But this is the third one, the most important. So that principle is this: there is a unity in who we are as we serve one another in Christ's body that makes us stronger together. There's a unity there. As I focus on the Son and his message, I'm unified with you. Even if I disagree with you over XYZ, minor issues. Then this third one is so important. We are members one of another. Have you ever thought of that? It's a little odd, and I looked it up in many different translations, and it's a little difficult to get. The original also is a little difficult, as the English is. I like the amplified version here. And individually, we are parts one of another, and then in brackets, mutually dependent on each other. In the original, literally, we are unto one another. We are unto one another. So we are one, we are many, and we are unto one another. That's a great picture. Because I don't need to just think about the one and just about all the diversity. I need to think about the unto. You get the idea? The knee bone is connected unto the thigh bone. The thigh bone is connected unto the hip bone. It's not enough to think of the diversity and the unity until you think of the unto. I have to be unto you. You have to be unto me. We have to be together. We have to be communicating. We have to be, all right, your thing may not be, it may not be teaching or speaking in front of others, but I have to be unto you. We have to be unto together. You will not grow or thrive as the Dead Sea. You have to be unto living organisms spiritually connected to the head. I am unto you, connected to you, members one of another. Right? That's the picture. Right? The hand is diverse than the knee, yeah. And there's this oneness, but if it's not connected here, then there's no spiritual growth. And so I need to be unto you. You need to be unto me. I think this is one of the most difficult things the church is going through the last 2 years with COVID, is there is a lack of unto-ness, especially in urban centers. Right? There's a apartness where we recognize unity, diversity, but there's no unto. Just talked to a brother this week, and he's going through this. I can't pray with anyone. We prayed together. It's like, I just feel cut off. Yeah, you feel like an arm cut off. It's not live meant to be that way. I'm unto you. You are unto me. This is the reality of sacrificial service that comes first, most important, preeminent. As you are a sacrificial servant in the Lord, you are going to serve one another by washing each other's feet. I'm connected unto you. I cannot wash your feet if I am not near you. You can do that online, right? But we're just setting it up, I think, as a society where that becomes more possible. And so we are trying to do this as an elder team, really striving to encourage our church to be unto one another, furthering one anotherness, the strength that comes from the knee and the thigh being together. When I preached through Ephesians 4, probably 7 years ago, I recognized I was not doing a good job of this. Ephesians 4 says the elders pastors and teachers are to equip the saints to do the work of ministry, serving one another. And so we totally changed at that point to encourage not just the pastors doing the one another's of discipleship, but where we organize all in these small groups of two or three people, four people, to minister the word unto one another. And you may not be a teacher, that's fine, but you get together on the phone or at a coffee shop or at the office or after church, and we sit down with the word and we wash one another's feet. All right, in this fall, we're gearing up, and that's what this sermon's all about. We have a meeting after this, and we'll live stream that as well, where we talk about our church's fall groups in this way. All right, really encouraged by how the Lord builds his church. He doesn't just use pastors. In fact, often we just get in the way. He uses body. His body. You are the minister as you serve one another. All right, so principle three, there is a connectivity in what we do as we serve one another in Christ's body that makes us stronger together. There has to be this connection. I am all out of time. How do we do this? It's because we're in Christ. It's because he's our head. It's because I'm listening to him, submitting to him, following him. And that's how it runs smoothly. The Spirit connects you to the head, and you follow the head, and I follow the head, and then I function one another to where the body is building up itself in love. Only comes as we serve in Christ. The world is such an amazing testimony to this, and I'll just read this maybe in closing. We'll skip that last one. There's differing gifts that we serve one another, and maybe we'll pick that up at another time. We'll need to do a whole series on that. But right now, there are people who are risking their lives to meet together all over the world. Here's one of them. My last day, this is from Dispatches of the Front, Tim Cassie. This is frontline missions as he goes in and sees people all over the world that are on the front lines serving the Lord with very little help or support. But I just want you to think through this as that connectivity is essential. And these people are meeting together, even though it means great cost to themselves. My last day was Ashish. We were up early, had prayer, slipped out of town at first light to baptize five Christians. At least 16 believers are ready for baptism, a serious step here in identifying with Christ. However, radical Hindus have imposed anti-conversion laws in 7 states, including this one. So to reduce visibility, believers are baptized in smaller groups in different places over the course of several weeks. Yesterday, Ashish and 2 other pastors spent most of the afternoon scouting for a place for the baptism today, where we could avoid the police and their informants. My brother Ramesh read scripture, and Ashish baptized the believers in this remote river. Along the embankment, we sang, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." Here, that song means something. After the baptisms, we went out to the meeting place for worship. The Christians here have sought for 12 years to acquire property for a church building and have been opposed at every turn. They've been harassed, beaten, cheated, and continue to meet. The believers stood this morning to give thanks to the living God who delivered them from their sins, the fear of dead idols. They lifted up their voice in great praise. Perhaps because they have so few treasures, the one treasure that Christ died for their sins and their lives are now forever bound up in his life is all the more prized. My brothers and sisters are despised and rejected by those who call them untouchables, yet they are loved and embraced by Jesus. Afterward, we took the Lord's Supper together. Sheesh tore 2 pieces, and we remembered the one torn for us. A cup was poured into our hands. We remembered how Jesus was wounded for us. The marks in his hands, the assurance that we are forever received, forever loved. So this morning we shared in his sufferings and the fellowship of the cross. Echoed a distant song, a glimpse of things to come. Alleluia to the Lamb that was slain. He calls us to follow him For us, there's not a whole lot of cost. But that one another is so essential. We follow him. We follow even if it means loss of property, loss of reputation, considered untouchable. We follow him through the cross. Those who follow Christ take up their cross and die to self. Those who take up their cross take up the towel and serve his body. Let's pray.